Hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints online contemporary service. It's wonderful to be with you and to be able to worship God together. Now, if you've been joining us for the first time or relatively new, just to introduce myself, I'm Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate at St Andrew's and All Saints, and it's wonderful to warmly welcome you today. Now, we're going to continue today teaching into our series of living life at God's pace, learning to unhurry. And hopefully you remember over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at solitude and silence. Last week, we were looking at Sabbath and trying to recapture what it means to have a Sabbath in our lives. And very excitingly today, Barry is going to be teaching into simplicity. Certainly could do with some of that in our lives. So if you'd like to grab a Bible and look up and find Psalm 47. We're going to begin our service today by reading this psalm together before going into worship. But as you find Psalm 47, why don't you also welcome the Lord into wherever you are, whether you're with others, whether you're on your own, wherever you are, welcome the Lord where you are. He is with you. He is with us, and we are worshipping together in the spiritual realms. So, if you've got Psalm 47, let us start our service in a place of praise and worship by reading this psalm together. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the soundings of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. And it's a reminder that life may be very different. For many of us, it will be in different places, hard and difficult. Others will be enjoying life, but there is always a reason to worship our God. He is seated on his heavenly thrones. He is the King of all nations. And there are 10,000 reasons to worship and praise him. So let us stand and sing. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening dawns. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like this.
Thank you, that there are a multitude of reasons to worship and praise you. And that when we gather to worship you, it is to refocus and realign ourselves to God and away from the things of the world. And the archbishops have also calling us to move our focus back onto God by calling November, calling us to a month of prayer. And our response to that is to set up Friday 12, which I'll talk a little bit more about in just a moment. But here is a video with the new Archbishop of York calling us to prayer and perhaps how we might engage with that.
On the brink of this second lockdown, many of us are feeling anxious, fearful and powerless. This pandemic is ghastly. And it's frightening. And often we wonder, what can we do? Well, today I'm here to issue an invitation. The thing that we can do is we can look after each other, and we can do that by praying for each other, by praying for our nation, by praying for our leaders, by praying for our health service. Because when we pray, we open ourselves up to God, that God's goodness and God's care can flow through us to our world. And I want to say to you that you don't have to be an archbishop to pray. You don't have to be a member of the church to pray. We can all, wherever we are, whoever we are, we can all join in this invitation to prayer. But I especially ask people of faith, Christian people and people of other faiths to join with us in this wave of prayer, particularly at 6 o'clock each day. Why not set the alarm on your phone for 6 o'clock? You might even hear church bells ringing at 6 o'clock. You might want to go out into the darkness with a torch or, switch on the light on your phone at 6 o'clock and offer a prayer that God will get us through this terrible pandemic and that we can find healing and hope.
So having received that invitation from the Archbishop of York, I have set my alarm on my phone for 6 o'clock every day to pray and to lift my eyes onto the Lord. But how might you respond? Now, one of the things we're doing as a church is the Friday 12, and every Friday, and we started this last Friday, we're going to be praying from 9 till 9 for 12 hours. The church is going to be open, and there are a selection of prayer stations for people to come and pray in individual prayer. We also, as I hope you've seen from the newsletters, going to be doing a Zoom prayer at 9, 12 and 6 in the evening. So that's each Friday. But we recognise most of you are not able to get to church on a Friday during a busy day when you're at work or at school or you've got the many things going on in life. We recognise that, of course. And so it's about praying where you are. So could you set 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour aside in the workplace or at school or wherever you are during your day to stop and pray for our nation at this time of the pandemic? So I leave that invitation over to you, more details on the website and in the newsletter. So we're now going to have our readings, and we're very excited to have our readings read from Australia. Many of you will have heard and picked up of this amazing story of some ladies who've been watching our online services, and they've got connections with Melbourne. And this week, Dave invited them to do our readings. So our readings are coming next.
The reading this morning comes from Australia, from Budrum Mountain on the Sunshine Coast in the state of Queensland. Jean Parker, who has strong links with St Andrews and All Saints, Jane McIntyre and I send greetings to all. And we thank Reverend Dave for the very warm welcome he has extended to our little group from Down Under. We thank him too for his inspirational spiritual leadership, which has brought joy, encouragement and comfort into our lives. It is an immense pleasure to read the lesson this morning from Matthew 6, verses 19 to 34. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
So, do you remember that song, that distinctive gravelly voice? Janis Joplin, 1970. Now, simplicity is the title of today's talk, and I expect you're wondering what that song's got to do with it. Well, in fact, what do the readings have to do with simplicity when they talk of treasure, darkness, worry, clothes, anxiety? What do all those things have to do with simplicity? Well, let me first talk about what I think the problem is, because there's no point in preaching what you think God is saying is a solution unless one works out there may be a problem. So let me start with a question. Would you like to have lots of stuff, lots of possessions? Or would you prefer a life with fewer possessions, fewer or less stuff? Or maybe you think, well, I've probably got the balance about right. I live somewhere in between excess and poverty. And in our consumer-orientated society, kind of having more feels better, doesn't it, really, than having less. So let's go back to basics and see what the problem might be. If you're like me, you would like to be like Jesus. I guess all of us listening to this would want to be like Jesus. And we used to sing a song, I Want to Be Like Jesus. But the dilemma for us, in a way, is if Jesus were here today, how would he be? Would he have a smartphone? How many hours might he spend on social media? Would he have a lovely new espresso coffee machine like mine? Would he binge on Netflix series or vote for a particular party or own a bike or a car or two cars? Would he go travelling around the world sightseeing? Be an animal rights activist or a climate activist? Would he live on a social housing estate or in a big detached house or even in a palace? Would he be a meat eater, a vegetarian, a pescatarian, a vegan? Would he go to the gym and work out? I don't think he'd like Pilates. Think about it. Would he wear designer clothes or ethically produced clothing? And would he give generously? And if so, to which causes and charities? What would Jesus do? Oh my goodness, what a dilemma. Would it be a life of simplicity, as the sermon obviously suggests it would be? And if it was a life of simplicity, what is the great advantage of that? And what does it look like anyway? In the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which we're all being encouraged to read, John Comer states that a simplicity, or minimalism as he calls it, is for the followers of Jesus, not just a lifestyle,
but a spiritual discipline. A way of, as it were, clearing the clutter from our homes and our hearts and our lives. So we can make more room for God and live freely in the kingdom of God with Jesus. That's the point of simplicity. Less clutter, more room, more time. Oh, we'll all sign up for that, won't we? But the dilemma is, what does it look like? What does it actually look like? And we've got to find some kind of Jesus benchmark, as it were, a godly benchmark against which we can assess our own lives today with all its 21st century challenges in our developed Western, mainly secular society. Now, the Bible and Jesus' teaching won't give us specific answers about whether we can watch lots of Netflix series or binge on our smartphones, but it does give very clear principles, and Jesus gives very clear commands. And in the readings today, we heard him give commands, not sort of suggestions like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if, commands. So do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry saying, what shall I eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. So Jesus isn't actually saying, you know, wealth is bad and poverty is good. He's not saying that at all. He's saying that an abundance of stuff, clutter, an obsessive desire, as it were, for stuff, is not healthy for our spiritual lives. John Comer has grasped this, and he's leading us to see our lives in this developed world as having missed something important, some big truths about Jesus. And I know you know this, and I know that you know I know this, but here's the rub. You know, how does following Jesus impact on our actual lifestyles? You know, the day-to-day lifestyles that we choose to live, or have to live, perhaps. I mean, really, if Jesus were alive today, and well, he is in one sense, but if he was physically manifested in Malvern, let's say, walking around, you know, how different would his lifestyle be to others? Would non-Christians say, oh, wow, look at that Jesus. What a truly inspirational lifestyle he leads. And if Jesus were here in Malvern, how different would our lifestyles be? Would non-Christians say, oh, look at Jesus' friends. What truly inspirational lives and lifestyles they lead. Jesus spoke of two principal ambitions, as it were, to love God and to love our neighbours. And to do that, he needed, to do that fully, I would say, he needed to live a simple lifestyle. Had he had, you know, a palace to manage, servants to look after, staffing disputes, budgets to balance, he would not have had so much time to love God and love others. And here's the thing, in our modern Christian lives, we tend to have sort of worship words and theories as much as we have issues about actions. And here's the thing, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. And Christians, if you look at Acts chapter 9, you'll find that Christians were called followers of the way. And so to be a follower of Jesus was, and perhaps is, or should be, to live like him, to follow his way. And whilst beliefs, theology and ethics all play their part, sometimes in the Western church we can put theology very much first, our personal salvation. Ethics, a godly perspective, as it were, on things, second, and the way, a godly life, a third. And I would imagine many of us ache for transformation. We read of Jesus, his joy, his peace, his love for the Father, his love for others. And we want that, we do. We want life in all its fullness. And we hear about the easy yoke and we say, give me that, please. And we head home from church, fired up. And we get right back to our groove, the slot that we're in, because that's what we're conditioned. Nothing changes. What's the answer? Are we all supposed to go into the woods and live on bark and twigs? Well, of course not. We have so many great things to be grateful for. Our wealth has provided us with health services, amazing health services, heat, shelter, food, warmth, entertainment and so forth. But our relative wealth and lifestyles haven't actually resulted in a population who are richly blessed with contentment, joy, peace, generosity, compassion and so forth. And nobody is advocating poverty. Jesus didn't advocate poverty. He encouraged us to see that nobody lived in poverty. But if on the other side wealth brings clutter, busyness, materialism and a frenzied consumerism, and that of course can come from wherever you are on the economic scale, as John Comer says, it will bring a catastrophic damage to the soul of our society. And the lie that more is good, he says, is wreaking havoc on our emotional health and spiritual lives. So the answer in a way for us is to follow his way, to follow Jesus's way. We have to focus our attention on God, and that's why the readings link money, stress. Because we know to find God in our lives is to find him completely consistent, trustworthy, reliable and faithful to us. And you know that the more we lift our eyes from our problems to focus on the goodness of God, you know, through worship, through prayer, through embracing him in creation, whatever it is works for you, we know that we can become increasingly non-anxious, a non-anxious presence. We can see the bigger picture, we get a better perspective. We become less controlling, more relaxed and peaceful because we have the answers? Well, no, but because we do know that ultimately love wins. In the words of Julian of Norwich, that well-known 14th century nun, all shall be well and all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well. So I've given you the problem. I've articulated the answer, follow his way, and there we are, job done. Well, not really, because we still don't know what that looks like. And John Comer, and you can read this in the book, a chapter on simplicity, gives some practical examples, and I'm going to run through those fairly briefly, because they're useful. They actually give us a handle. Maybe this is the Jesus benchmark that I was looking for. One, before you buy something, ask yourselves a few questions, and I'm not really talking about cornflakes here. Firstly, is it ethically produced? Actually, probably I am talking about cornflakes as well, because we should be looking at where we can to buy fair trade food. So is it ethically produced, whatever it is? Can I afford it? How often will I use it? Will it add value and help me enjoy God and his world even more, or will it distract me? Will it help slow down the pace of my life? Is it oppressing the poor? I mean, you think about it, you know, we can buy jeans for like £6. And how do you think a pair of jeans is made, created, transported, given to a shop, bought by us for £6, and yet the person that makes it gets a fair wage? We know that many children are involved in sweatshops. So are we actually trying to find out more about where we buy things and what conditions people were working in? Is it harming the earth? You know, in other words, will it biodegrade or will it last for 500 years in landfill? Number two, buy fewer but better things. Have you found recently when you've been buying stuff that seems to be really cheap that actually at the end of the day, it's not very good, it's, the quality is poor. It's junk, you know, it breaks and you end up having to buy something else or another one of the same thing. So try and find things, we're stewards of God's creation, we need to find things that last longer. Where we can, let's share. last summer I lent my high pressure water jet thing, you know, water cleaner, to somebody, and unfortunately it kind of shorted out all their electrics, so they weren't too happy. But, you know, actually, if anybody wants to borrow my high pressure water thing, please ask. You know, sharing is good. Sharing is good. We don't often use a lot of stuff that we've got. Bless others by giving away generously and regularly. You know, I quite like going to the charity shop and giving stuff away. It feels good, and it's nice to think that you can bless somebody else with something that you don't really need so much. Live to a budget. Well, that's fairly self-evident, I guess. Learn to enjoy things without owning them. Library books, that's a good example. The local parks. We're blessed with so many beautiful parks and commons around us. We should enjoy them. And you know, on that theme, developing a real appreciation of creation. Because if materialism despiritualizes us, then the material world, as it were, can help to re-energize, has the opposite effect. It re-spiritualizes us, God's creation. Cultivate a deep appreciation of the simple things, like, you know, a nice cup of coffee. In fact, I've been dying to have this from my new coffee machine, he says guiltily. The old one blew up. It did. You asked Debs. It went all smoky and horrible, and we couldn't do anything about it. We tried. Honestly, we did. But, you know, a simple cup of tea in the morning is lovely, isn't it? And a home-cooked meal, riding a bike in a sunny day. Every sunrise is an invitation, in a sense, to enjoy God's world. This one is a good one. Recognising advertising for what it is. I like that one. And as he says, it's one area where cynicism feels Jesus-y. Quite like that. And finally, the point he makes here is about leading a cheerful, happy revolt against materialism. You know, less is better. And when we moved house, we cleared a load of stuff out, a load of junk. Actually, not all junk, some of it was okay, and we took it to the charity shop. And the sort of more minimalist approach we had when we first moved to Melbourne seemed quite healthy. I'm looking around the room now as I speak, and we've collected stuff again, you know. I mean, you go to people's houses, how many people have these great racks of DVDs they never watch, or bookshelves full of books they never read? You know, just a thought. Clear it all out. Do not store up for yourselves, says Jesus, treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Leading a simple lifestyle gives us time and more money and more energy to invest in a relationship with God, a relationship with family and friends, kingdom work and life in the kingdom. And maybe, you know, who knows, one day people might look at us and say, wow, what a truly inspirational lifestyle they lead. Well, we started with a song, and I'm going to finish with a song. This time, the last word goes to, was it old Blue Eyes? Frank Sinatra. And now the end is near. And so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've travelled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it his way. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry, for that. And I don't think any of us expected a solo of one of Frank Sinatra's classics. Barry shared a lot of practical things as well as what the Bible is telling us and the truths. And I hope you're finding each week that there are practical ways to actually implement what we're trying to learn into our daily lives. And it's not about changing massively our lives all at once, though some of us may be called to do that. Most of us, it's about making small changes. 1 degree changes is what we say and talk about. So what 1 degree change could you make in your life to make it more simple? Let's have a moment of allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you now as to what it would mean to live a more simple life. Let us pray. Lord, would you show each of us now one thing that we could change to make our lives more simplistic and to help us refocus onto you. Amen. I would encourage you to find a moment to sit down and take some of those practical ideas that Barry shared with us. And that's just a sample. There are so many other things that we could do. But now Jane is going to lead us in prayers. And she's going to be leading us from some of the prayer stations in the church. And so give you an idea of what is going on there. But Jane, so let us pray.
O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts today. Help us, whatever our circumstances, to look to you as the one who answers prayer. As many of us are forced through lockdown to simplify our lives, help us to spend more time with you and to look to you as the author and sustainer of our lives. We pray for our government at this time for wise counsel and compassionate hearts. We pray for the Queen and the royal family. We pray for all those who make decisions which affect our lives. O Lord, hear our prayer. For our children and our young people, for our children, particularly the youngest, to stay safe and well in this unusual and hostile time. We pray for our young people and those in schools and colleges, the teachers and all those who serve in those places. We pray for Malvern Parish School, for the Witch Primary, for Malvern Wells Primary, for the Chase High School and for the Bridge. We pray for the elderly, for the vulnerable, for the fearful, for the lonely. Lord, may we partner with you in ministering to them. We pray for your church, unable to meet in person, that it may grow and flourish, and that we may be able to speak of your goodness and your deeds. Lord, give us testimonies and stories to share with those that we meet. Lord, hear our prayer. And finally, Father, we pray that in all our doings, in all our speaking, in all our actions, with the people we may come across just in the street, Lord, help us to bless as you have blessed us. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. Now, we are more than aware that we are more a scattered church than we are gathered at the moment. And in so many ways, that's fantastic because we are out in the world. But I just wanted to give visibility to the reality of that by inviting one member of our church community to explain where she will be this time tomorrow and perhaps what the joys and the difficulties are at that time so that we can pray for her. And so here is Susie Barnes, who I asked, where will she be this time tomorrow and what are the joys and the difficulties, and therefore how we can pray for her. So here's Susie sharing with us.
Good morning. Peter asked me to tell him what I was going to be doing tomorrow morning. Actually, probably feeling quite sad because I've been looking after my great-granddaughter Esme, who is 7. Some of you know her. And we've been doing a lot of homeschooling, so I should probably be putting my feet up a little bit and thinking, oh, no more homeschooling for a while, because she's going back to school. It's been wonderful having her here, but Les and I will get a lot more time together again, and so I'm looking forward to that. And what could you pray for? Well, for Esme's safety, basically, back at school, because I am slightly concerned, because she has asthma, she's quite vulnerable. So the Grove School could do with all the prayers you could give them at the moment to keep their kids safe. Miss you all. See you soon.
Thank you, Susie, for sharing that with us. And I hope there's a testimony of Susie on her front line, being a kingdom person, and on her front line, being at the forefront of mission. And what was that? Caring for and homeschooling her granddaughter. It doesn't get more missional than that. And I wonder, I want to encourage you in wherever you are tomorrow to remember you are a kingdom person on the mission in your front line, wherever that may be. And we want to bless you on that. So do pray for Susie tomorrow, knowing that she is going to be without her great-granddaughter. Now, we're going to sing our next and final song, God of This City. And I want to encourage you to stand and to sing this song as a declaration, as a prayer that there is so much more yet to come. So let us stand and sing God of This City.
You're the God of this city, you're the King of this people, you're the Lord of this nation, you are. You're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless, you are. like a God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city.
A great declaration. Greater things are yet to be done. And of course, that's what we're praying for in this Monday, in this month of prayer and over our nation. So let us keep that at the heart and continue to trust God will break through and he is the sovereign of our nation. So just to remind you, as we come to an end, all the information that's on our website and our weekly newsletter, please dig into that to find what's relevant to you. Friday 12, I've mentioned more than enough, so please get engaged with that as is appropriate for you that fits where you're at. And the other one is just to remind you, for those with the local pastoral groups, hopefully you've got emails that have told you about what those are about, bringing you connecting with your neighbours, members of the church who are in your area. If you've got any questions about that, please get in touch and let us know. But let me finish with a blessing. The love of the Lord Jesus draw you to yourself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service each day. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us, now and always. Amen. So let us go and love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy coffee and speak to you in due course. Much love. Bye-bye.